This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We are the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9.
We have a special guest today. Who is it?
We do. We're so incredibly lucky in this town because we have the most incredible food to choose from. However, today our guest is Tai Ho, who is from 24/7. This is the first ever in Australia 24-hour fur shop. Now, that's not fur. That's not faux. It's fur.
It's fur.
Tai, welcome to the Escape Hour. Thanks for coming.
No worries. Great to be here.
Yeah. So, nice. Tai, I mean, you know, 24/7, how come you decided to open a fur shop that was going to be like 24 hours?
Well, fur's been such a big thing in Melbourne and in Australia. It's been around in our families, you know, for generations. Since we're growing up, we've been eating fur. So we thought, why not make it 24 hours and eat it all day long for everyone? We eat it all day long.
Our family really do?
Yeah, our cultures. We eat it for breakfast, we eat it for lunch, we eat it for dinner.
Is it the same dish or is it slightly different for each one of those
meals?
Yeah,
well, it's always different, but we can sort of have for any time of the day. It's not really something that we can say we want to have it only for lunch or only for dinner. It's sort of something we feel like we can have any time of the day.
Right.
And so we thought it'd be a great idea to sort of bring that to Melbourne and be for everyone to be able to eat it any time of the day.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, in Melbourne, a lot of people consume it because they have hangovers and it's a really good hangover cure.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's but there is actually really a good reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So fur was originally created as a herbal medicine for Vietnamese people to sort of like make you feel better, make you feel more refreshed, and like especially when you have a cold or a sick, we'd make this fur broth, which would make you feel better. That's maybe the reason why when you're hungover and you have a bit of fur, it makes you feel better. So it's actually, there's some secret sort of ingredients to it that comes out of it that makes you,
So it's kind of like Vietnam's chicken soup.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But of course, as we know, it's made with beef stock.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And beef stock is one of those things which, if you don't like the flavour, it can be really hard to stomach because it can be really rich. So, I know we're not going to have a bit of a secret recipe here, but, you know, what's the process of making fur?
Yeah, well, fur is made with herbs. So we use special beef herbs and star anise, and, you know, we get a lot of the flavours and the good smell from these type of herbs. But the secret to good fur is boiling the broth, the beef bones, for at least a good 8 hours before, you know, really putting in the rest of the flavouring and the seasoning to bring out the flavour. So boiling that broth and making it well done before actually serving it is sort of the secret ingredient behind how good your fur is going to taste.
So is it almost clarified, the broth, so all the impurities come to the top?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So constantly having to take out the impurities at the top, and you have to actually cook it on a certain heat level as well to ensure that the broth is cooked well. So it's very, very important. It's like cooking a good steak. It's making the right broth.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously an essential part of the dish. I mean, that's the base of it.
I think it's the most important. I think for most people who eat fur, believe that if the broth is good, then you've got a good fur.
Right.
And to me and to what we're going to bring to Melbourne, it's not just about the broth, but the whole experience in general.
Yep.
You know, people love a hot fur. It needs to be hot and boiled and steamy when it comes out to a point where it nearly burns your tongue. The noodles need to be, you know, nice and firm, not too soft, not too hard. And we believe that the right noodle, the right broth, and the meat as well is so important. You know, having nice tender pieces of meat sliced freshly. We believe that if we put all these ingredients together, we can really bring something different.
What kind of noodles? Mm. What are the actual noodles made of? Are they?
So they're rice noodles. Mm. So rice noodles is a traditional pho. Yeah.
Mm. Hey, I'll just mention too, if anybody has any questions for Thai, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY949. You can ring on the phone 1-300-JOY949, or you can email us onair@joy.org.au. Ring in with any questions you
might have. I think that's very important because one of the things we discussed in the break is that we didn't even know how to say food.
Well,
I was
always saying pho. Yeah,
that's right.
And it's interesting that's
and how Australian incorrect. Is that? I mean, we us Aussies, we just we need a bit of re-educating, and we've got some of that today, haven't we? I'm not going to be walking down Victoria Street in Abbotsford anymore saying pho. It's going to be fur. Yeah,
that's
exactly
it.
Right.
But it's interesting too, a dish that is meant to be consumed more hot, you know, originates from Vietnam, which is in the south of Vietnam, is pretty tropical. Is it the situation too that's not only medicinal, but it's also supposed to be if you consume something hot, it's going to keep you cooler?
Mm, that's an interesting question. Maybe.
Okay. Because it's just been a lot of times people say, oh, you know, like in India, you drink the hot tea and it's supposed to help keep you cooler, which I don't actually agree with, but that's what they say.
Mm, well, I remember someone telling me once that if you make a dish much spicier, it fills you up faster.
Right.
So that if you perhaps don't have enough food, you can fill up the spice. Makes you feel fuller. I don't know if that's really true.
Vietnamese culture, is that, again, look, I mean, I live in Richmond, so obviously we are on Victoria Street quite a bit.
Fantastic.
And one of the things that I love about all the restaurants there is that I never find Vietnamese food filling to the point that you've had too much to eat. Like, is your culture more with the, you know, you're grazing for food all day and the food just tastes healthy?
Fresh.
You feel as though that you're really, you know, that the people have gone out of their way to make it healthy and fresh, as Ted was saying. Is that the culture?
Yeah. That is the culture. So Vietnamese, we love fresh ingredients, fresh food. We understand how important it is to sort of not feel like you've eaten too much or too less. We have a fine balance, and our culture is a lot about, you know, enjoying your food, really, really appreciating what you're eating, all the elements to it as well. So there's very, very fine details to everything that we produce as well. So it's really, we do really enjoy eating healthy food and making sure that our ingredients are always fresh and produced properly,
And I find it fascinating because one of the first times when I went to Vietnam, I was really taken back by the amount of French influence in Vietnam. And obviously it was a French colony for a period of time. So I always found it quite interesting how, you know, the baguettes and the rolls and things like that are very much French influence, and as well as even the architecture in the city center, and that's still there today. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially the baguettes. Yeah, so we have a really famous, you know, the new up-and-coming sort of dish that everyone's talking about right now is the banh mi.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got pho, which was originally, you know, really doing very well in Australia, and now banh mi is starting to become a new thing as well, and we will be featuring banh mi for 24 hours a day the new 24/7 restaurant at our 24 restaurant as well. So,
I do, you know, have fond memories of being in Hanoi and, you know, at breakfast time or like when we left the hotel, you pop out and there's all these people just cooking food on the footpaths, and you can go over there and get, you know, a lovely banh mi, and someone puts some beautiful Asian greens in there and then squishes it and toasts it, that's squashed, and it's like this new taste sensation. And then you can walk a little bit further up the street and there's somebody else who's making something else up and you just buy it off the street. And then they all leave, and then some other people come out for lunch and they have different food. And it was just, you just walk the streets.
It's just really cool.
Buy food off the street. Yeah. It was fantastic.
And I always found the people were so friendly.
Yes. Yeah.
So friendly and welcoming as well. Mm. And I've always loved going to Vietnam for
such a spectacular
reason.
Destination.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So you must be excited about your new venture. And I think it's a great concept that you're going to have a restaurant in the city that's going to be open 24 hours a day. That's the entire concept, isn't it? So I could just imagine people, once they find out it's there, that who wouldn't want to have a a fur to prevent a hangover at 4 o'clock in the morning. I know, I'd put my hand up for that every time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, you know, the old standby used to be stalactites in the city for a late night meet. And then, of course, you've got all those chef stories that they run, which is where you go when you finish work. And I'm sure that 24/7 will be very much visited by chefs.
Yeah, well, we want to really, really cater towards everyone, you know. The whole hospitality scene, everyone in even hospo who finished their bar shifts as bartenders at 5 a.m. or, you know, our chefs who finish up late cleaning. And we want to be able to cater to everyone, even the people that are out having a few drinks after the bar. You feel like something to eat, you can come have a fresh bowl of pho or even have a banh mi. So, you know, we are very, very excited to be able to bring some good food, even, you know, 3 a.m. or 8 a.m, whatever time it is.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to be a sophisticated city, we've got to have some 24-hour action.
We're
never going to be able to compete with New York unless we do that.
Well, that's right. I find it frustrating too, though. You know, if you have had a night out, you know, not everybody's in bed at 10 o'clock. No. You know, you want to have some good food and to enjoy that as well. I think it's important. Mm.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
I try to go home at least once a year.
Yeah. Fantastic. I've
been doing that for maybe the last 6 years.
That's great.
Yeah, it's been very good. Love Vietnam, love home, love Saigon.
Isn't the central part of Vietnam is actually quite beautiful when you look at Da Nang, Hue and Hoi An. It is a very exciting part of the country.
Very, very different to South.
Yes.
Very, very different to Saigon. It's not as busy. You can actually really, you know, enjoy even riding a scooter down the road, you know, as we do in Asia, but trying to do that in Saigon would be.
Everyone rides a scooter in Saigon, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty harrowing sometimes.
Just trying to cross the street in Hanoi one day was like quite terrifying.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Chi Chi tunnels?
Yes, I have been to the Chi Chi tunnels.
Aren't they incredible?
What are the Kooky tunnels?
Oh, the Chi Chi. I thought they were the Chi Chi.
How do you say
it? Was it Coo Chi?
Coo Chi tunnels.
Yeah.
I could not believe that the Viet Cong lived underground.
Yeah.
And there were thousands of them. When we went through it, they had there was kitchens where they fed everybody. There were hospitals where women were having children underground.
Wow!
And the place was just so hot and claustrophobic. You just wouldn't want to be claustrophobic to explore all these tunnels. But what an amazing museum!
It is
amazing.
Oh, it is an incredible museum, and it really makes you think about the damage that Agent Orange has done to Vietnam and to the people. And it just makes you really think about that. You know, because it was quite, for me, it was quite disturbing to see to go into the museum because it was very in your face.
Yes.
But I would never have not gone because I think it's important to see that. And
absolutely.
You know, and to see how resilient the people are too. And you know, because that wasn't that long ago. So it's fascinating.
And so what's your favorite thing to do in Saigon?
Well, definitely the food. The food culture in Vietnam is absolutely amazing. You know, you can walk down the street and go to a stand and get a banh mi, you know, from a lady who's been doing it for the last 45 years. Right. You know, and then you hear their stories, and it's absolutely amazing. Having traditional food is absolutely probably my favorite thing to do in Vietnam at first. Yeah. And then there's all the other things as well. As you know, there's different things you can do in Vietnam, exploring you know, places like Nha Trang and Hoi An and all these beautiful places with amazing beaches. So Vietnam is an amazing place, very cheap. You know, everything is so affordable. Mm. We can live like kings.
Yeah.
I love the fresh beer that they have. It's one of the most fun things. What do they say? Beer hoy.
Yeah.
So it's when it's ready. And it's ready at 4 o'clock every day, and all the plastic stools come out in the street, and everyone sits there and gets their fresh beer, and then it's done at 7 or something.
Yeah.
You just drink it all, and then I make more the next day.
Yeah,
beer hoy.
Yeah.
Hoi!
Hoi! So that was one of the fun things I loved about Vietnam. You know, that we're talking about fresh food before, you know, when things are just made and served sort of so that spontaneous sort of, you know, eating and living on the street, kind of exciting. It's just very exciting.
Yeah. I loved it. Oh, sorry, we just had a question from a caller.
Oh, great. Actually. Okay, yes.
John from Clifton Hill wants to know if there's any vegan or vegetarian options on the menu.
At 24/7, yeah, 24/7. So there will definitely be.
Yep.
We're working on a vegan pho, which is what we really want to try to master. We know, you know, vegan is such a big thing right now.
Right.
And
yeah, you will be loved by the vegan community if you can pull that off. Well, that'll be made with, like, mushrooms?
Yeah, so mushroom base, a lot of vegetables. But, you know, we're very confident we can come up with something amazing. My whole family is actually vegetarian. So,
really?
Yeah, so I'm working with my family at the moment to get the flavors right, and making sure that we can come up with something not just vegetarian but vegan as well, so that we can cater for everyone.
That's great.
Yeah. And is your recipes, have they been handed down but from the generation?
Yeah, so it's been passed down by our grandparents, so it's sort of like it's going to be very good.
Are there regional differences in Vietnam?
Absolutely. So if you come from the north of Vietnam, which is more Hanoi and all that, it's a little bit, they make it quite different to how we make it in the South.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.